Once again, the shir is dedicated as exclusive for Rosh Lema for Yonina Chasya Bas Sara. I want to touch upon a few, just some basic issues with regard to names. If you have the Mamakomis in email, you can print them out at your leisure. Most of the sources can be found in this excellent book called Korei Shemo, Halachos and Minhagim, about naming. All you need to know when it comes to Halachos of Names and Minhagim of Names, fascinating sefer. Written by a young man, or maybe not so young, I don't know, an author, a Talmud Chacham from the Yeshiva Shavei Chevron in Chevron.
In Hebrew.
So just to begin, a couple of Gemaras that are famous because they're often quoted in this regard that indicate the significance of names. The Gemara in Brachas on Daf Zayin Amud Beis tells us, Minalon Deshma Garim, that the name has some sort of impact or effect upon the outcome of a person's life and what he's going to be like. But the Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis, which says that Reb Meir Havadayik Bishma, Reb Meir would look at a person's name and based on the person's name, he would try to determine what the person's nature was all about. So both these Gemaras indicate that a person's name has some sort of relevance to what the person is going to be like in his or her lifetime. The Shmagarim, the name has some sort of impact, or somehow some sort of indication as to what a person is going to be like. So what does that mean? How does a name have any sort of relevance to what a person is going to turn out to be like? So there's a fascinating Sfas Emes in this passage, Parsha Shmos, who says, Ki inin Hashem, because the concept of a name, Hu hamuchuvan sha'al zen nivra, a name alludes to the purpose for which a person was created. Uksha'adam mesakein myself, when a person perfects his actions and his behavior, az nigmar Hashem, then his name is complete. Now, what that means precisely, I can't perhaps elaborate on, I don't know enough about it, but in some way the name has some sort of allusion to the purpose for which a person is created. Now, this is actually a fascinating idea because perhaps we've all at one time or another heard the custom of saying a pasuk, end of Shemona Esrei, that relates to the name of the person. Either my name appears in the pasuk, or the pasuk begins and ends with the same letters that my name begins and ends with. What's that all about? That's quoted from the Shulah, that as a segula for a person not forgetting his name after he dies, when he comes to the Yom HaDin, say this pasuk at the end of Shemona Esrei, so don't forget your name. What does forgetting your name have to do with Yom HaDin? How do I forget my name when I come to the Day of Judgment? What does that mean? So Rav Dessler, this is found in the Encyclopedia Aspaklaria, Rav Dessler in the Michtav Meliyahu Chelek Hei, Amud Shin Sadi Gimel, says the following fascinating pshat. He quotes the Shla that a person might forget his name, L'asad Lavo. He says the pshat is because the name of a person alludes to my chelek in this world, meaning what I have to accomplish in this world. That's what my name alludes to. And if I forget my name, la'asad lavo, when it comes to Yom HaDin, that means that this person has forgotten what he was supposed to accomplish in this world. In other words, he didn't work hard enough, says Rav Dessler, during his lifetime to accomplish what he was supposed to accomplish, and therefore, in the world to come, when you no longer have the ability to accomplish anymore, it's too late. You can't accomplish that which you were supposed to accomplish as alluded to by your name. Hence the idea that you forget your name, la'asad lavo, meaning that you didn't do what you're supposed to do as alluded to by your name in this world. So that's the same idea as the Sfas Emes, perhaps, that the name alludes to a person's purpose, what he's supposed to accomplish in this world. Now, one last comment in that regard. If names are so significant, well then, you know, how on earth do we know what we're doing when we name our kids? What we name our kids? How are you supposed to figure that out? So that Rizal in Shar HaGilgulim is quoted as saying the following. And Rizal says, "V'nimtza ki kasher nolad ha'adam," when a person is born, "v'korim lo aviv v'imo shem," and his parents give the child a name, "ha'olah b'daitam," that just comes to their mind, says Rizal. He says, "Eino be'akroy u'behizdamin." The name the parents give the child is not just, oh, coincidental, they thought of this name, it has a nice ring to it, let's go with it. "Ki im ha'kadosh baruch hu meisim b'fiv ha'shem ha'hu," God places in the parent's name that name, parent's mind or the parent's mouth, that name, hamuchroch el hanashamahi, the name that has to fit with that neshama. As every child has a unique neshama, and every name obviously relates to a unique feature of this neshama or a unique purpose or mission of this neshama. So says that reason, when parents name their kids, it's not just, oh, they thought of that name, they like the name, this happened, Ba'akroy. No, it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Rizal put in their mouths, put in their minds, that name that has to go with that child's neshama. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them the name to name that child. Which is why it's so fascinating. He quotes from the Sefer Kori Shmo, a number of contemporary poskim who say, don't go ask your Rebbe or your Rav, what am I supposed to name my kid? This is the parents' tafkid, and Arizal says it's the parents who are given that siach d'shmaya by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to name the child properly. So yes, you can ask your Rav and Eitz in terms of Shalom Bayis, my wife wants this name, I want that name, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. You can ask your Rav for Eitz in terms of how to negotiate the sometimes sticky maze that you have to get through until you get that final name. But the decision, say many contemporary poskim, is L'maisa is supposed to come from the parents because they're the ones who HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants that siach d'shmaya, if you will, as what to name the child. Now, moving on in terms of two thoughts about who has the right to name the first child. There's apparently a difference in minhag between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Ashkenazim, the minhag seems to be that the mother of the child has the right to name the first child. A Moshe in Etshuva and Yerodeach, Elagimel, Simon, Kofalov, discusses even a case where a first child died shortly after childbirth, and the second child was born. The second child was the first child that they really had an opportunity to name. So the Moshe writes, he says that he thinks, in this case, the mother was claiming that she has the right, according to the Minhag Olam, to name the first child based on who she wants to name the child for from her family. And the father says, nope, this is the second child we've had, it's my turn. So Moshe says, it's partially says that the mother has the right to name this child, because that, says the Moshe, is the minhag, the mother names the first child. And here, even though the first child died very young, but that was apparently a child that was never destined, unfortunately, to live, and therefore that didn't count towards her first child naming rights. So Ashkenazim, the minhag is that the mother names the first child. There's a fascinating tshuva in the Rashbash, who was one of the late Sephardi Rishonim, the 1400s or so. The shaila who's asked in Shas Tshuvas Rashbash, Simon Reish Tzadi Aleph, you ask me, he writes, how is Ramban and Aben Yonah both my grandparents? Not sure why this is a halachah master shaila, but that's a shuvah in the Rashbash. He describes his yichus from Ramban and from Aben Yonah. But he writes that Rabbi Yonah and the Ramban were first cousins, and their children married one another. So two second cousins married one another. Ramban's son, Shlomo, married Aben Yonah's daughter. And when they had their first child, so Aben Yonah had already died when his daughter was pregnant. When the daughter, the Ramban's daughter-in-law, gave birth to a son, so the son, Shlomo, wanted to name the child for his father, Ramban, Moshe, who was still alive. Ramban said, no, even though you're right, you're supposed to name him after me. Still, Ramban said to his son, Shlomo, I want you to name your new baby son, Yonah, after your father-in-law, Rabbeinu Yonah, who had just passed away. So, posting quotes, Avadja quotes this Shuvas Rashbash, in his Shuvas Yabiyah Omer Chelekei, Vajra quotes this Shuvas to show that the Ramban's minhag was that the father had the first naming rights for the first child, because here the Ramban's son Shlomo, Ramban said, really, you should be naming your son after me, but since Rabbi Yonah has passed away, your father-in-law, so name your son after him. In other words, the minhag otherwise would have been for Sephardim, apparently, to name after the father's side first. Okay, that's with regards to naming rights. In terms of choosing names, there is an interesting medrash in Bereishis Rabbah Parshas Noach. The medrash says, Bereishis Rabbah Parshas Lamed Zayin Simed Zayin, that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Rishonim, the earlier generations, had Ruach HaKodesh, so they would name their children based on events that were maybe going to occur. But us, says Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, we don't use Ruach HaKodesh when naming children, so we therefore name our children after our fathers. This is Tanoim already. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Ta'atana, is saying that the early generations used Ruach HaKodesh. They named their children based on events that would happen in the child's lifetime. We don't use Ruach HaKodesh, so we name after our forefathers. So already in the times of Tanoim, you see the minhag was to name after forefathers, Avosenu. That's very, very, very early minhag, to name after forefathers, after our fathers. Question now becomes, okay, so if one's naming after fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers, that's very nice and simple. How about all these other names that are perhaps not as straightforward, that are what you might call Shemos Chadashim. When you're not naming after a parent, grandparent, great-grandparent, etc. In Sefer Kari Shmo, he quotes Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman apparently was not thrilled with the idea of making up new names. So Lama said, name your child after your grandparents. There are so many names that we can use already that are traditionally part of the name lexicon in Klal, so why are you making up new names? On the flip side, he quotes Rav Yashiv, who says, nothing wrong with using new names. After all, says Rav Yashiv, in Europe, there are many names that they used in Europe that were not Tanakh names. Rav Avinera in the Tshuva, he quotes, spells it out. He says, Shendel, Fagel, all these very traditional Yiddish names. Those are not Tanakh names. Those are modern names. At least they were modern names in those days. Shendel, Fagel, all those names were made up names. He says, even Dover, Aryeh Leib, to us it sounds like, you know, old time Yiddish traditional names. But, you know, 500, 600 years ago, that was a new name. That was a modern name. You naming your son after a bear, after a lion, that's kind of strange. Why are you doing that? There are no Tanoim, Ramroim named Dover or Aryeh Leib. And furthermore, it says of Aviner, even the Tanam and Amram themselves, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Is Zakkai found in Tanakh? Is Yochanan found in Tanakh? Sumchus. No, a lot of these names are not found in Tanakh. You don't find these names in Tanakh. I don't know, Mayor. So a lot of these names from the Mishnais and Amoraim are not found in Tanakh. So Rav Aviner says, you know, to say that Dafka today you can't use new names when Tanoim, Amoraim, earlier generations in Europe all use new names. Apparently there's nothing wrong with it. And he quotes other contemporary poskim and gedolim as well, of Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, who says there's nothing wrong with choosing a new name that's not found in the traditional sources. Zalman Nechemya says, though, there's a Hargasha Tova Yoser, a nicer feeling when it's a Tanakh name. Rav Mordechai Leo also paskin, no Ister, choosing a new name. Shlomo Fisher also, nothing wrong with it, but there's a nice mila and advantage to using the names of Tzadikim and Gedolei Yisrael. Okay, that's the general consensus of poskim, that using new names is not Usser, because that was done in the past. But it's a nicer feel if you use a traditional name. What's fascinating is the Chazon Ish is quoted, and this was a quote said over from the author of Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, Rav Neuwirth, who quoted the Chazon Ish as saying, the most important rule in choosing a name, fascinating, HaKlal HaChoshev B'Yoseh, most important rule in choosing a name for the Chazon Ish, and you must emphasize this to parents when choosing names for your children, this most important rule is, don't give a name the child will one day be embarrassed by. Very fascinating emphasis. Now, you might think you give a name after a great-grandparent who lives in Europe, and the name is I'm not going to, at risk of embarrassing somebody, list suggestions, but you can all imagine European names that are not the most common today. I'll leave it to you to use your imagination. Whatever the name is, Tez Chazish, don't give your child a name he'll be embarrassed by. That's a very, very fascinating point to be aware of. And apparently Chazon Ish also is quoted as having said that even when there is a kibud of aim to name a child after a parent, but if the son will be embarrassed by that name, you still should not give that name if the child will be embarrassed by it. And for example of David Cohen of Brooklyn, Shlita, when asked about the name Razel, said, name your child Shoshana, don't name her Razel. Razel's not used to it anymore, name her Shoshana. Again, the same idea that even if it's a name that you want to name for, but use a name that the child will not be embarrassed by. One other interesting related issue that comes up is naming after plants. Vered is a rose, so Shoshana, Razel, and that's an old new name, I guess you could say. How about naming after animals? Ayal, Ayala, or maybe even some more progressive ones. So the Chizah, writing in the 1700s, writes, the Chizah says, I think it was 1700s writing it, says in his Sefer, he has a Sefer called Shem HaGadolim, where he lists, biographies, brief biographical sketches of numerous Gedolei Torah. She says Rav Wolf Shapiro was the father of the Eliyahu Rabbah, the father of the Minchas Yaakov. His name is Rav Binyamin, but he's called Wolf because Wolf in German is Ze'ev. So a person, his name is Binyamin, they called him in Germany, or in German, Wolf. A Yehuda, he says, is called Leib, and so too, similar kinds of examples. Then the Chizal says, in Italy, some people have a minhag to bedak to give their kids names of animals, because they call their kids Tzvi, Ayal, old name Ayal, Tzvi, Ayal, Aryeh, because they feel that that's going to help protect the child from illness, for some reason or another, I'm not sure why. But again, you see from the Chizal that he quotes this minhag to name your children with the names of animals. Apparently it also was not considered usur and terrible. It was done. Obviously we know it's common, Aryeh Leib, Binyamin Zev, right? We know that's commonly done. So that also apparently is acceptable. There's no issue, no concern there either. Although some posts can write, Shmuel Shabbos Kachasa said that if you can use names found in Tanakh, that's ideal, even though there's no issue to do otherwise. Rav Nevensol, who actually suggested don't give the names of a non-kosher animal except for animals that represent the Shvatim, it's like Zev is Binyamin, Aryeh is Yehuda. And you wonder about Nachash for Dan and Chamor for Yisachar. I guess that no one's going to really be giving their kid that name anyways, hopefully. Okay, that was Nevensol's suggestion. Again, the debate is no Isser, but there seems to be in general this preference for more traditional names. But again, no Isser to do otherwise. Of course, as well for names of plants, vegetation, Oren, Erez, Dekel, Vered, more modern Israeli names. Also says Noch Shash Isser. He quotes Rav Chaim Eliyahu saying there's nothing wrong with that. That is Mutter. But even so, it says obviously it's preferable to give the names of Tzadikim, Tzidkaniyos, if that's an option. Okay, so we'll leave that for today. Maybe there's more to discuss in the future weeks.